Welcome, everyone, to T.S. Wright Speaks. I'm your host, T.S. Wright. So glad you could join us today. Well, let's dive in. If you've got your Bibles, turn into 1 Samuel chapter 8. Samuel is right now the judge over Israel. They've had the prophet Eli. Now Samuel's become the prophet. Eli's sons, because of the sons and the way that he did not keep them in line, God had to rip the power from his descendants. His house could no longer be in that level of power over Israel. Now, Samuel was the prophet that God raised up, obviously born of Hannah, as she had prayed and said she would give her son to the Lord for his service. And we can go back and we can read that in 1 Samuel. So we're setting the scene, and Samuel is starting to get older. And he's appointed his sons as judges. And we'll read 1 Samuel 8, verse 1. So when Samuel grew old, he appointed his son as judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second son was Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside towards dishonest gain, accepting bribes, and perverting justice. Okay, so that's obviously not the mark of a prophet and a judge that can rule over or help keep order in Israel and have that level of power. So this isn't the type of person that you would want in control. So, verse 4, so all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. Look, they said, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to judge us like all the other nations. But when they said, give us a king to judge us, their demand was displeasing in the sight of Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. All right, that's the first part of this lesson. When we see something and feel out of balance, whether it's in society, whether it's with ourselves, inside of our own homes, our jobs, whatever, what should be your first response? Or if somebody brings you something very distressing, what should be your first response? Samuel's was prayer. Is yours prayer? Think about it. Our first response should always be we go to the Lord in prayer. That should always be our first response. That is a faithful, that is the only faithful response that we should use when we feel confronted with something that is hard, displeasing, something that could be chaotic and that is causing great unbalance, all right? And it's disturbing our spirit. Here's the thing. That's what he did. Now, here's what happened in return. And the Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people and all that they say to you. Now, he didn't just say, hear them. He said, listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you. So when you're listening to something, don't just get the main points, which is what most of the time all of us do. I'm guilty of it. Most of us are. But we have to pay attention to every piece of it, all of what they're saying. All right. And the Lord is telling him to do that. For it is not you they have rejected, but they've rejected me as their king. Okay, let's take that into consideration for a minute. The people have rejected God as their king. See, it's not going exactly the way they like it or want it to go. And so now what they're saying is that, in essence, the underlying message, reading between the lines and listening to all of what they're saying, ultimately what they're doing is they're rejecting God as king. See, the people want this perfect thing that they can interact with face to face. They can see it, touch it, feel it. And guess what? That's not necessarily how God wants them to operate. And it's not always going to go smoothly, or God isn't going to sometimes respond the way you want him to. Let's go on here. All right. But that's what they're doing, is they're rejecting that. That's what they're rejecting. And they don't like it because God keeps punishing them every time they step out of line. You know, he gives them a chance to turn around, but when they don't, eventually he course corrects them, and they don't like it. Just as they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt, until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. So they're rejecting Samuel as judging over them. Ultimately, they're basically rejecting God as their king. So he says now, verse 9, now listen to them, but you must solemnly warn them and show them the manner of the king who will reign over them. So what God is trying to say is, okay, you don't want me as king, and you don't want Samuel, me speaking through Samuel, to judge over you. Well, guess what? Things are about to get a whole lot worse. They're not going to be good. They're going to be worse than they are now. And what it is that they don't like the fact that God course corrects them in the way that he does it. It probably to them feels uncertain. It could feel like Samuel is saying he's hearing from God and not really hearing from God. Or what I also think is that these people feel insecure, all right? Because if you go and you read, if you go backwards and read, just read through the book of Deuteronomy, then, and you can read Leviticus and Numbers and Exodus and through that portion, just look at the plight of the people. And then go through Joshua and Judges, and you're going to get a pretty good sense that it has been a roller coaster ride, and the people are tired of the roller coaster ride. Here's the problem. When we get tired of the roller coaster ride, does that mean that we need to go and demand something new from God? Ask yourself this question. Is what I'm asking what God wants? That's right. I will tell you, in this life as a Christian, it is not going to be smooth all the time. From the circumstantial, your circumstances are not going to be smooth all the time. There's going to be roller coaster rides. And if you're really, really pursuing the calling and pursuing God, I can tell you there's going to be troubles. Jesus told us this. He warned us of this. All right. He said, take heart, I've overcome the world. But what did he say right before that? He said, in this life, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. See, greater is he that is in us than is in the world. So when we know this, we can kind of look at this and see that the people, what ultimately they're doing is not trusting in God. God is like, okay, and it's kind of like Romans 1. If you read chapter 1 and you start around verse 18, you'll start going down that passage. And what will eventually happen is you'll get to a point. And God gave them over to their lusts. He basically gave them what they wanted. But the problem is the consequences of all that. And it ain't pretty. Well, it's the same thing here. He's telling them these consequences are not going to be good. Because when I give you a king, that's it. I'm going to let the king rule over you. So if you start with verse 10, so Samuel spoke all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, this will be the manner of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his own chariots and horses to run in front of his chariots. He will appoint some for himself as commanders of thousands and of fifties, and others to plow his ground, to reap his harvest, and to make his weapons of war, and to equip his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and grape harvest and give it to his officials and servants. And he will take your men servants and maid servants and your best cattle and donkeys and put them to his own use. That doesn't sound very good to me. All right, just being honest. Oh, and he's not done here. That's right, verse 17. He will take a tenth of your flocks and you yourselves will become his slaves. Yikes. I think I'd rather be a slave to the Lord than a slave to other people. When that day comes, you will beg for relief from the king you have chosen, but the Lord will not answer you on that day. So he's warning them. This is a total warning. Like, if we're going to go through with this, once we do it, that's it. This is where we're going to be. It's up to you. Nevertheless, the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we must have a king over us. Then we will be like the other nations, with a king to judge us, to go out before us and fight our battles. Samuel listened to all the words of the people and repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. Listen to their voice, the Lord said to Samuel, appoint a king for them. Then Samuel told the men of Israel, everyone must go back to his city. So obviously Saul will be the first king chosen. by Samuel. And then, of course, David, and we go down the whole line of the kings, Solomon, and then all the kingdoms being broken up. I mean, it becomes a real mess. God warned them about this. 1 Samuel 8 is a warning. Let's understand that as of today. Are we in circumstances right now that we are trying to create changes or asking God to make certain changes that maybe God doesn't necessarily want to make? There's an old saying, be careful what you wish for because you may just get it. And the problem is, I call them unintended consequences, all right? And these unintended consequences sometimes can be the part of it that you never understood. That's the part that is the hardest and sometimes impossible to handle. Are you giving, when you make request of God and you're not asking the Lord first, like, Lord, should I have this? Should this even be something I'm praying about? Have you ever asked the Lord about what you need to pray about? Have you just asked him to put in your heart, Lord, what do you want me to pray about? Who do you want me to pray for? How do you want me to see this? The key is that we have to go before the Lord and ask him. The Bible tells us over and over throughout the Word of God that we are to seek him and ask him. We aren't supposed to seek for ourselves, but we are to seek of God and ask of God what he wants us to have in our life. You may be asking for something that he just simply doesn't want to give you because he knows it's going to eventually take you away from him. And it may not be for 10 years down the road. But listen to this. When you struggle with that and you're not sure and you're in this tumultuous time and things haven't been going well, heed the warning of 1 Samuel 8. Read it. And then, you know what? You can go and read the Psalms and let the Psalms comfort you. For instance, read Psalm 100, read Psalm 117, read Psalm 91, read Psalm 20. All of these Psalms can give you some comfort in these times of trouble. But always heed Samuel's warning. This 1 Samuel 8 applies to us today. You may not like sometimes the United States government and how it works. And I'm going to say this, it isn't perfect for sure. It is far from it. But I promise you, you don't want the other side because you'll get tyranny. Eventually, even people right now that are pressing for a total government change, I promise you, once it flips, there's no flipping it back. And they're going to hate more what they brought in than what was before. At least what was before, they had a voice. See, what God's kind of warning to them here, just think about this. What's going to happen is God has been the type of king that he's still given them a voice in all of this. There's times he's brought consequences or said no. And we can go back and again, you can read Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and Joshua and Judges and learn that. But I'm going to say this right here, right now. What's happening is when they shift to a king, their voice is gone. They're going to be responding to a human king and not to the God of heaven. That king is going to be a layer then. And the only thing that they'll have is they'll have prophets to advise the king, but they're going to be under the power of a human king. And that's who they'll answer to. They won't be answering to God anymore. Yeah. Now, ultimately, everybody answers to God. We know that. But in your normal earthly things, I still want God to be the judge of my everyday, not just the judge of the big picture. I want him to be the judge of every day because God is fair. He is righteous. He is holy. He sees the whole thing. I don't want somebody else to be that. And I don't think you do either. So we need to think about that. So be careful what we're asking for. Make sure that we're going. Here's the real message here. Make sure you're going before the Lord and ask God what he wants you to pray about. Ask God, what is it that he wants you to be pursuing? Ask God what he wants you to have your heart driven towards. Even in a circumstance that's really hard, ask the Lord what he wants you to do and how he wants you to respond. See, these people weren't asking God how to respond. They were demanding something without asking the Lord. They were just demanding it. And the Lord's like, okay, I'm going to give it to you, but you're going to hate it. It's going to be 10 times worse than any of this. I mean, that's basically what he's saying here. And that is what happens. Eventually, they lose the entire, Israel loses itself and is hauled off to Babylon, comes back, still oppressed, and then loses their nation completely, which they wouldn't get back until 1948 and 1949. Yeah, think about that. In 70 AD, it's going to crumble, and they won't get it back until the 1940s, the late 1940s. So here's my point in all this. As you see the entire history of Israel, I promise you, we can see ourselves in that history. We can't just sit here and point the finger at these Israelites and the things that they did, because we do this ourselves. You know, it's really kind of a reflection of the human heart is what this is. And this is relatable to all human beings. And we have to remember that God is ultimately the one in control. So let's just go ahead and put him on the throne right now. I mean, this is the part that if you want me to point out one verse and say, what is it that's really hitting me? It's this, verse 7. And the Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for it is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. So let's wrap this up in this way. Is Jesus Christ your king? I'm not asking you if he's your savior, because a lot of us out there are very eagerly to embrace him as savior. But are we ready to embrace him as Lord and King? See, the real walk with Christ isn't just embracing him as Savior. He is our Savior, our Lord, and our King. He gets to rule over us, and he gets to direct our every day. He can lord over us daily, and he can make his judgments as a king over us. He'll do that anyway, whether you want that or not, ultimately. But I want him to do that daily. I don't want to reject him as king. Don't embrace Jesus as Savior and reject him as king. That is not going to go well. That will not finish well for you. See, at first, when we first come to the Lord, we're embracing that Savior part of him. But as we grow in the Lord, we cling to the Savior. We cling to the cross. But we also have to embrace the royalty of Christ, that he is our king. It's all wrapped up in one. We have to embrace it all. What I don't want to hear from the Lord is that, depart from me, I never knew you. You don't want to hear that. Instead, I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. See, we are servants of the Lord. That means he's king and we're his servants. Are we faithful servants? Are we willing to embrace Jesus as king over our lives? 1 Samuel 8 clearly reflects the dangers of not doing that. Because if you know the rest of Israel's history, even though Saul, his kingship will start out well, it'll flop, obviously, as he turns away from the Lord and Samuel has to go and find another one. And he does, because Saul disobeyed God and defiled him and defiled himself in front of God. So my question is this. Then he embraces David, right? Well, even David ends up being a murderer and a murderer. That's right. I mean, we have to think through this and see. I don't want to put my faith in anything earthly to rule over me. I want to put my faith in Christ. That does not mean we should not have laws and have order. They had that. They had laws and order, but God was ultimately the king. I don't want a human king over me. I only want God as my king, period. And he is ultimately the king, and ultimately I will answer to him. Ask God today to put in your heart how he wants you to pray, what he wants you to pursue, to start introducing the callings in your life. And if you're in a tumultuous time where you need mercy and relief, ask God to bring that, but to also bring revelation and clarity to the situation for you. You may be going through this for a reason, to prepare you for the next season. So remember that. And I'm saying 1 Samuel 8 is a very key pivotal passage in the Word of God. And it is a great teacher. And it reminds us that God does not like to be rejected as king, and we need to embrace him as king. He is our Savior, and he is also our king. Surrender to that today. Your call to action this week. Ask the Lord, in what ways am I not making you the king of my life? And Lord, what do you want me to pursue? What do you want me to focus on? Where and whom do you want me to pray for? And what do you want me to pray for? Lord, I give that to you. If you're unsure, just ask him to pray for you. He'll start praying in you. Pray the Our Father prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. That's the Lord's prayer. Pray it. All right. And just start asking. The Bible tells us, be still and know that I am God. Can we do that? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to come before the Lord and ask him, Lord, what is it that you want me to pursue? And whom is it you want me to pray for? And what do you want me to pray for? And lay it at his feet. Thank you for joining us today. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.